All right, my name is Chris Robinson. Welcome to the Chris Robinson Podcast. I'm here with two stand-up comedians. I'm a stand-up comedian as well. So every week, it's either going to be me by myself doing a rant or other comedians with me. So this week, we have Mr. Phil Ismay.
Yes.
And Miss Paige Pazanza.
Hello.
I'm glad I got your name right. What did the guy say last?
Who knows?
Penzoni or something stupid?
Pasta, lasagna, meatballs, I don't know.
I like how your parents went for alliteration with your name.
Oh my god, my initials are PP.
Yo, kids went in on
you. Yeah, they did.
You know what's so funny? My name, on my birth certificate, I don't know why, but it's spelled P-H-I-L-L-I-P-P-E.
Philippe?
Philippe? It's Philippe. So when you say Philip in Creole, it's Philippe. Mm-hmm. So when they spell my name with two P's and an E, I'm like, this is not my name. You know, so I think that in kids, you know, kids ain't shit. The school is
not kids ain't shit.
No, they are, bro. Black kids ain't shit. So when I hear to see little kids, like little white kids kill themselves with bullying, I'm like, bro, in the 90s, bro.
Those black kids?
Woo! Yo, they're like, integrated. Oh, P-P-U-P-M-B.
Yeah.
Oh, P-P-S.
I didn't know we had that connection.
They went in on, bro.
Before they integrated the schools, there was no white kid suicide.
Yeah, and my name is P-H-I-L-L-I-P. And it was not until a couple of years ago I realized, oh, that's on my birth certificate. I just thought the schools were misspelling my name, but it's really P-P-E. So it's funny you said that. Yeah.
That's a very West Indian of you to have learned your name at some point in the middle
yeah,
of your life.
Yeah, I'm just like, the fuck?
I didn't learn how to spell my last name till like sixth grade. My
That's
teacher,
a problem.
My teacher's always like, no, but there's only one Z in it. I know it's confusing. So I had to like practice spelling my last name. I was a dumb kid, man. Dumb kid.
But you know what's crazy? You're now a scientist?
No. I mean, I went to college for science shit.
Well,
then you are
a scientist. Like, what do you mean? You graduated. You got a scientist paper.
I do have a science certificate. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I also won the science fair for Girl Scouts in third grade, so.
Speaking of which.
Right when you said, I know where you're going. I was thinking,
yeah, me too.
I'm like, there's probably guys in there now.
There are girls that are now joining the Boy Scouts.
That's weird.
Honestly, though, at Girl Scout camp, it was right across the lake from Boy Scout camp, and I was like, I'm over here to learn how to fucking crochet, and I will never, ever crochet. I want to shoot bows and arrows like the boys. I'm glad that's going on.
Well, then but why don't I feel they like just teach the girls how to do bow that. And arrow?
It's not allowed in the Girl Scouts. It wasn't in the Girl Scouts curriculum.
So it's so weird. So they won't change the rule for the curriculum, but now they're going to change the rule for Boy Scouts to allow Girl Scouts in. I think that's a little...
I mean, I'm not going to die on this Girl Scout, Boy Scout.
No, I don't care. It's just a discussion.
I stopped going to Girl Scouts when I was like, no, I want to be around boys. Like, that's why I left.
I feel like you should at least switch up the curriculum a little bit so like, oh, these people want to do that. Let them do this.
Yeah, I wanted to do all the boy stuff. Like, the hiking badges were dope. The archery badges, those were awesome. So canoe, like if you tip over your canoe, like how to survive like in the water, like water survival. I was like, I want to do all of that.
As a Caribbean kid.
I was going to say, as a Haitian.
As a Caribbean kid, did your parents let you do Boy Scouts?
For a very, very, very short period of time. But my...
Too paranoid.
Yeah, my mom's African American and my dad's Jamaican. So the combination, I got like to do different cultural things on either side.
Which one do you feel like you took? Like you're more
African American? Because I mean, I'm here and I'm born and raised here.
Because it's weird. Like I thought about that. Like interracial dating. Like it's one side of the family is gonna fizzle out. If you understand what I'm saying. So let's say if a kid is Haitian Italian and both the parents are Haitian and the other one's like really in touch with their culture.
Mm-hmm.
If he marries, let's say he marries someone who's out of that culture and he has a kid, both, you know what I'm saying? He's going to be more inclined.
One's going to be dominant.
Exactly. Yeah. And so three generations from now, that Haitian side, he didn't really embrace like that, ends up being a surprising percentage in his ancestry, DNA.com.
Yeah.
I'm Haitian? And he's like, yeah, we didn't want to tell you. My dad was Haitian, you know, but he wasn't. You know what I'm saying? So that's really crazy. Like like the KKK dude got a DNA test.
Yeah, he was partially
black.
Yeah, this is like a family secret if he was known.
That shit happened to us. That happened to us. My whole life, I'm 30 years old. My entire life, up until the age of like 28, it was like, mom and dad are Italian, they were born in Europe, they come over, you and your sister are born, they speak Italian, all your grandparents are Italian, that's it. Like, that was it. And we were like, oh, dope. So my dad took the DNA thing, and he's like, it says I'm 80% Persian. And he's like, that ain't right. So he calls his sister, and he's like, yo, take this. So she takes it. She's like, I came back 77% Persian. And we're like, oh no, what's happening? So like, then my sister and I took it. She came back 38, and I came back 40%. And I'm like, what's going on, guys? Is Ancestry.com just confused? But it's impossible. I mean, you get four people in the same family coming up with the same thing, basically. Yeah. So my sister...
I would have stopped denying it after the sister. Like, I don't know why it took you and your sister.
Well, my dad was... You have to understand, like, my dad grew up in Italy. Like, that was his whole, like, jam. And he comes over here. That's his whole jam here. And, like, he listens... You know, you listen to your parents. You don't assume they're going to lie to you. And so my sister, like, does some research over in Italy. And she's like, let me pull some birth certificates. Let me grab some stuff. And she's looking at, like, documents and stuff. And, like, birth certificates look fucking fake as shit compared to, like, other people in the town. So my sister hypothesizes, and we can't ask, our grandparents on my dad's side are dead, hypothesizes that they escaped that area of the world and came over to Italy, because Italians and Persians can look very similar. Mm-hmm. Kind of fair skin, dark eyes, dark hair, big nose. So she's like, maybe they, like, escaped, because they got married really young, my grandparents, like, 16, 17, and... Like, that's when their life is recorded as far as, like, jobs and shit like that.
You know how crazy that is?
Yeah.
It's like, we're learning how to, like,
yeah,
get our permit and, like, maybe our license. And then these motherfuckers escape a country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To start a new life.
Yeah. They're like, oh, we gotta go.
What the hell?
I'm curious why they had to go. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to know. I mean, I think there was a war going on at the time. Because they were born in, like, the 20s, like, 1920s. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so we're just like, I guess that's what happened, but we'll never know. Like, no one will ever know.
Because, yeah, because how do you figure out what your name was before? And then...
Right. And, like, culturally, like, I don't speak Farsi. I've never been to Iran. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm hairy. I'm real hairy. That's not a cultural thing.
Wow.
I got a little hobbit feet. Hobbit feet.
She said,
but you know what I found out recently, actually, is that... I did 23andMe was the one I did.
That's what my dad did. He did 23andMe.
Yeah. So, you know, I have the joke where I found out that's 100% true.
Yeah.
I found out that I'm roughly 60% Sub-Saharan African and 40% that would be Western European. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's from your mom's side, huh?
No, it's from both. So, come to find out, my great-grandfather on my father's side. So my father's father, English white dude. Just straight up white.
Your father's father.
Yep.
So your grandfather. But your grandfather.
No, my grandfather's father. So my great-grandfather. Oh, okay. My great-grandfather, right? Then my grandmother on my dad's side, so my father's mother, her grandfather was 100% Scottish.
Wow.
Because Jamaica was an English colony. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So they were all back in, this is like, at this point, it's like 1901 when we're talking about these people. And there were tons of white people that came over from England running different companies and stuff. And they ended up with Jamaican women and boom, I'm a byproduct of that. And then on the other side, my mom's family were African American and we're super light skinned African American. I am one of the darkest people on my mom's side of the family, right? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So there was a lot of somebody's slave owner was doing some nastiness in the middle of the night, right?
Yeah.
So because that whiteness is coming from both sides, I end up being 40%. Well, I'm damn near just mixed at the end of the day.
Hey, you know what? I'm all for it. I think if you have not fucked someone of a different race yet, you gotta change, man. Like... We're all just gonna eventually be these like beautiful golden brown black people. I'm just gonna look so hot. I can't wait. The future's gonna be sexy.
This is gonna be Brazil.
Brazilians, basically. Yeah. That's exactly what I was gonna say.
I mean,
and they still have racism over there.
Yeah.
I mean,
so imagine in a world of like tawny skinned people that have the same color of a McNugget. And then just like three Akons in that society. You know how that's going to be all fucked up. Like, look at this raisinette walking around. Racism is going to be bad. At least now there's like light skin and there's like black and there's white. and Hispanic. But if there's just golden looking people and four black people, that's just gonna be awful.
No, like I think it's gonna get, I hope, like hopefully it'll get to the point where like everyone is, like not everyone's gonna be the same. Like that would suck.
Absolutely.
But like you've got like a better distribution. Like, cause in America, the majority of the population is white or claims whiteness, right? For all intents and purposes, I'm a white person.
Yeah.
But like the heritage ethnicity side is like, well, in another part of a world of the world, you would not be considered white.
150 years ago, you would not be white.
Right. So it's confusing. Like whiteness is like this weird construct.
What
that
happened
happens.
Was
what happened?
White people realized they were becoming a smaller and smaller percentage of the population, and they wouldn't be able to be in control. So they were like, let's grab these Italians and these Irish and make them white.
But yeah,
so
that's what happened.
Know, and they just continue to grab more white people.
So before that, you got to think about who's considered white.
Eventually, the Japanese
English
would
people,
be white.
Right.
English people? Motherfucker, Ireland is right there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's literally right there. It's like the white version of Haiti and Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
It's literally the same.
Yeah.
It's the same as like Island, right?
Yeah.
I don't win the game.
That's why I think whiteness is a bullshit construct. Because like you look like, well, people would say Obama is black, right? And
he's
just black.
As white as
he's half black, half white. But like you like the, and I hate to bring this example up, but it's the easiest example. But if you had like, if you were half Jewish, regardless of which side it was on in World War II, you were considered Jewish.
Yeah.
But if you only had like an eighth Jew in you, then you were like considered white. But then you go to Italy in World War II, where fascism was fucking born, and the Italians were like, nah, we don't care if you're Jewish, it's fine. But then as shit got more and more dangerous, it was like, oh, are you a practicing Jew? Yeah, we don't like you. And then it was like, we don't care if you're practicing. You're Jewish, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
So it's like, it the goalpost keeps moving everywhere.
Yeah, but
so it's like, whiteness is bullshit.
And I think fascism started in Italy because they were trying to, they felt self-conscious about their whiteness. So they had to like lock everything down.
No, so fascism in Italy started, welcome to the history channel. Fascism started because there was like that wealth inequality divide, right? You've got, and also Italy was like, not a unified country until like the late 1800s, early 1900s. They were separate states.
Mm-hmm.
And you have in northern Italy, you've got like white people, blonde hair, blue eyes, red hair, green eyes. And then southern Italy, you have very, very dark skinned people.
Do you know why?
Because of migration from Africa, because Sicily and Italy are super close to Tunisia. So people are like, yeah, let's go there.
Because Hannibal conquered southern Italy.
Yeah, the Moors.
Early in history, yeah, the Moors. Yeah.
But hold on, but we don't know if Hannibal Barker was a light-skinned, like some white-looking dude, or was he a dark-skinned guy? Because that's Carthage, and we don't know exactly what skin tone he had. Because most of his, all it, like the busts they have of him looks like a white dude to me, but you know.
Well, regardless, like migration from, I mean, it still happens to this day, where migrants from Egypt, Tunisia, Algeria, they cross, because it's not far, it's super close. And like even today, like the interior minister of Italy is like a racist asshole. And he's like, I'm not surprised, honestly, he's a racist asshole. But like there are people coming over on boats that are not very safe. And a lot of times they sink and people are fighting for their lives. They're being smuggled out of dangerous places in hopes for a better life in Sicily and Italy, Malta as well. And so he's like, we're not going to pick up any of these boats anymore. Good luck. If you want to make the journey, good luck. And like, they're in Italian waters most of the time. Like, he's just leaving them to die. And it's not because it's a bunch of cute little white people coming over. It's because they're black. And he's like, I don't like black people. I don't want black people in Italy. Like, I don't believe these things. I completely disagree with that. This is the actuality of the situation, though.
Mm-hmm.
So he calls it the African migrant crisis. Africans have been coming to Italy and Sicily and Malta for centuries. It has always been there. You look at the Maltese language, it's basically if Sicilian and Arabic had a baby. That's what the language is. You look at the people in Sicily, they're not light-skinned. They look Hispanic. So it's like, it was a weird thing that fascism came in when Italy becomes united. But like Italy's like, oh wait, we're all pretty racist and hate each other because we all look so different. And we have different ideas and thoughts and cultures. And so then there was a lot of infighting, and then of course opportunists took as much money as they could, became very wealthy, put the little man down. That's why you see a huge immigration from Italy to the United States. It was like, I think in a span of like 30 years, it was 5 million Italians moved to America, not other countries, to America, because they're like, we're sick of this shit. We work our asses off and get no money. So fascism came in as a way to say, hey, we're all Italian. It doesn't matter what you look like or what you do. And fascism started. And fascism inspired part of what Hitler did. And Hitler's like, hey, Mussolini, I like you a lot, but you got a Jewish problem. Mussolini's like, nah, we're all Italian. But then when Mussolini sees the gears of war changing, he's like, oh yeah, maybe I should be anti-Semitic and racist now. And it was too late. Fascism is very seductive. Once someone gets that idea, they stick with it.
Like they have to build a wall.
What?
I said like they have to build a wall.
Yeah, fuck the wall. We don't need a wall.
You just got woke, really. Is this what you want to talk about, bro?
No, but I mean,
we're talking about farts and stuff. I'm good with that, too.
I like how we're going to have this conversation and go to farts. That's a complete left. But
I'm very good at compartmentalizing.
Well, here's my first question that I actually did want to talk about.
What's up?
There's this thing called alt comedy that I don't really understand. And here's going to be my, right off the bat, my hater opinion.
Talk about it.
Maybe you should describe what you think it is and then the opinion.
Yeah, well, that's all on the same page. It's sort of the same thing. Well, so to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, alt comedy is this emergence of...
But it's been around forever, though.
Yeah, but it seems like it's... Now it's like a lot of people are trying to... Like, they're trying to actively be it rather than just being who they are, and then it, like... It is what you are, kind of thing. Like, it's not organic. And it seems like it's this thing where it's based entirely in irony.
I think you're thinking of meta comedy.
Okay.
Because alt comedy is just like doing, it could be like just doing comedy in like a coffee shop.
I would say alt comedy is anything that's not like club comedy.
That's, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Like, so for example, like here, our only comedy club is Gregory's. And Gregory's is like, this is a comedy club. We book comedians that this is their job, right? Like, their 9-to-5 is comedy. So, like, and they, like, if you're a comedy club, you can specify, like, what you want. Like, you can tell an act, like, hey, don't say fuck. Don't talk about this. Don't talk about that. Because their whole business is making money or whatever. So, and this is my opinion, could be wrong. I think anything that's not club comedy would be considered, like, alternative independent comedy. Now, like, I think I know what you're talking about, like, with ironic comedy. It's like, oh, look at me, I'm doing stand-up comedy, wow. Like, that's, I think that's just a type of comedy. I think it's a crutch that a lot of people use, because crutches are nice, and it's also the most accessible, like, mechanism to deliver comedy if you're new to comedy, because it's very successful.
Well, I read this article, and I had to check, I think it was in Vice. But the article was essentially saying that they're talking about the new wave of comedy. They were talking about, what's his name, Jared Carmichael?
Jared Carmichael,
yeah. And a few other people, and how the new... I'm sliding this table.
Sliding this bitch too, bro.
I'm like, oh, this a Ouija board?
I was about to leave.
But this new wave of like the superstar comedians... literally don't get as many laughs per minute as sort of the old guard of comedy, and how comedy is changing. And a lot of them, it's almost like the comedy's written to where laughter isn't the main goal of what they're trying to do, right?
It's the idea.
Yeah. And it, and the whole, essentially the glaring headline of the article was like, modern comedy, is laughter still necessary, right? And my whole thing is, everyone that I've come across that does that sort of thing, it's because they couldn't get laughs if they wanted to. So they've switched their focus to something else so that to make themselves feel better about the fact that nobody laughs at their nonsense.
I'm of two minds on that.
Yeah?
Yeah, so like, I think it's important to constantly be recreating comedy in your own vision and terms. I mean, how did comedy start? We had vaudeville, right? Like,
Shit, it's before that.
I mean, but like consumable comedy to the mass. I mean, you mm-hmm. had like jesters, but only the king had a jester. I mean,
yeah,
right?
But he had like people in Greek doing like satirical plays or shit.
Well,
like
fuck that. The Greeks.
No, you can't do that because they taught everyone about comedy and tragedy.
Right, but and, a play is different. Like I'm talking about like
stand-up comedy,
not like comedy writing or stuff like that. So the closest that we had was vaudeville, right? We're not still doing vaudeville
shit,
acts right
WWE's
now.
WWE's pretty much vaudeville.
Well, there you go. But like I've never seen you in a vaudeville performance, and you've never seen
who the hell is good. Where can you can't go to open mic swing off of other shit.
Exactly. So I think it's important to constantly be recreating comedy in your own image.
But it still made people laugh.
Right, but so maybe you always hear comedy and tragedy go hand in hand, right?
True, but
so maybe sometimes you have to pull that tragedy a little bit more. Like they're like, I understand. Like, okay, sometimes like Nanette, for example. I think that
I was gonna mention that, but I was like,
that's kind of in the same vein. I think of what you're talking about. Am I correct?
Explain to me what you mean by Nanette.
Have you seen Hannah Gadsby's stand-up special Nanette?
No,
okay. I did.
So all right, so you've seen it. So it's basically like. She starts out, she's got some jokey jokes, you know, you're laughing, mm-hmm. it's fun. But she goes along with this story of like how she's been like harassed and sexually assaulted. And like, it's not funny. Mm-hmm. It is not funny. And then she brings a few jokes in the middle, and then she goes into how her like her sexual orientation, her gender expression, how like that is always like she's being bullied, she's being hurt by people, and then she closes it up tearfully. She's crying at the end of it. Like, it's very emotional. And while I don't particularly view that as stand-up comedy, I would view that as a comedic performance because she's trying to use comedy to explain that, like, that's how she uses comedy to get over some of these things, and then she shows you how she does that. So it's kind of like, I mean, I know why I started doing comedy was because whenever I felt sad, my mom and dad would make me laugh. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't necessarily address the issue because maybe they couldn't. Maybe I was sick and they can't make me not sick immediately. So they would make me laugh instead. And that makes you, like when you laugh, you've got like this weird headspace for like 10 seconds. It's just static, right? There's nothing. Yeah. There's no, I'm sad, I'm happy, I'm angry, I'm whatever. So it's very interesting. It's different. And I think if someone wants to do something different, spread your wings and fly, baby.
I don't know. I saw it and I was like, oh, so this is the great big new special people are talking about?
Yeah.
I tried to watch it off the strength of, okay, this is what everyone is watching and they're talking about, oh my God, it's amazing. And I saw it. I'm just like, I don't get it. And it's like, maybe because I just didn't get it like that. I didn't think it was... I don't know. It's kind of weird because if you talk about how you, if you liked it too much, people go be like, oh, you don't understand humor. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, remember I was dating a girl back in the day where she was like, he majored in political science and minored in gender studies. And she tried to make me watch Amy Schumer specials. I'm like, this is not funny. It's not funny. It's not funny. Said, oh, you don't think women are funny? I'm like, no, I think women are funny. You know, some more. It's hilarious. But Amy Schumer just doesn't do it for me.
So. You know what an honest opinion is, though, honestly? And again, you have to say this. I don't think most female comedians are funny. I think Paige is funny. I'm going to say that. So I don't get murdered.
But I'm not female comedian. I'm just a robot. I'm just with boobies.
No, but I think that there's this weird...
I think most male comedians aren't funny. But yeah. That's just because there's more of you.
Yeah, I think... Yeah,
and you know what? I just want to give like
the numbers game.
I just want to give the aesthetics to what's happening. I'm in the middle of these two, and it's like I'm in a tennis match. I'm looking at... So when he said, I don't think most female comedians are funny. And then I look at her, and she's like, I don't think most male are funny. And I'm just looking left and right like, what the fuck is happening here?
No, I find that, like...
You know Mama's got claws, too, so I'm over here, like, inside, just like...
No, I notice that a lot of times... And it's unfair to female comics, because I think the female comics that are good are really good. But I think there's this weird thing where now everybody's getting into comedy. Not everybody, but it's becoming a trend now that comedy's, like, something that people want to do, and it's become, like, a poppin' thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of, like, cute girls are getting a pass to get up on stage and bomb their face off and everybody still smiles at them because that's what you do when there's this pretty girl standing in front of you, and nobody goes, "Hey, you fucking suck. Get out of here." Like, a lot of it, like,
fault a girl for going out there and getting what she can get.
I know.
That's
men's fault.
You know what?
At the end of the day.
So it's the guy's fault, really.
You know what's the funny part? I think I know. I know where this is coming from.
I know where this is coming
from. That's all I'm going to say.
No, but here's the thing. You guys feel that way, but
no, I've seen it more than one.
It's more than one. There's a lot of them. And it's like,
in Central Florida, yes.
And it's like, here's what I don't like. And this is why I said, this is why I had to like give credit to Paige. Because like, who's the one lady?
Paige, I got bad credit. I need it.
There's a lady, her name is Susan something from Orlando. She's an older lady. I think her name was Susan something, but she's really funny too. Like, there's a few female comedians that are around that I can say, like, they're really funny. But what happens is, a lot of female comics feel like female comics get pigeonholed into, like, oh, you do girl comedy kind of thing.
I mean, I can tell you what's up.
Yeah, okay, so tell me.
So, like, well, first off, you get treated as, like, a commodity. So if you wanted to have, like you would never say, oh, it's an all-white male comedy show. That's
Yeah.
I mean, and that's most of them, right?
Yeah.
And you would never say, it's an all-male comedy show.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I've been on many shows that are like, it's an all-female comedy show. Yeah. See what these wild women are coming out and saying when their husbands let them out. You know, like, it's got that kind of vibe to it.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you're a novelty at that point.
Yeah.
And so when you're treated as a novelty, you're, like, constantly fighting, like, hey, I'm also a person. And, I mean, there's been times where I've killed rooms and I didn't talk about my gender, I didn't talk about my boobs, I didn't talk about makeup and periods and all the stuff that girls love. Girls don't love periods. But, like, it's uncomfortable because you have people coming at you with this vein of, like, oh, I need to check off my diversity box. And while I appreciate the outreach for diversity, don't put me on because I'm a chick and you need a chick. Put me on because I'm funny. I want comedy to be an egalitarian system that's solely based on merit.
Yeah.
But then also, like, as a woman in the audience watching comedy, I'm like, wow, another guy comic. He's probably going to talk about his dick like the other four. Oh, my God, isn't Pornhub crazy? Like, it just gets old not to see the representation.
Is it just the unoriginality of some of these guys you're seeing?
Well, that's why I'm saying that most male comics suck.
Yeah.
Just if the field is 70%
dude, 30%. What if this is most people suck?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
as well.
Like, they don't have to be comedians, even.
Like, I think the reason why the whole thing of commodity might be a thing is just that a lot of people aren't, like, maybe in entertainment. It's weird because behind the scenes, a lot of LGBT people and women are strong behind the scenes. But a lot of people are not. There's not a lot of female comedians. It's weird because I recently found out you can't say female. Like, it's kind of weird. Like, I was talking to this girl, and I was like, oh, most females act like this. They're like, oh, don't say females. That just shows microaggression. I'm just like, that's, you know what I'm saying?
I don't talk to people who say things like that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I just didn't even know. Hey, quit acting like a female, bro. You know, just how people talk. But I didn't know that. Oh, you can't do that. That's just bad.
You can't call me a female?
Yeah, like, just in conversation. But, like, you know, females act a certain way. It's just weird. Like, I don't know. Sometimes I just won't even talk to people. Because you don't know what the fuck you're going to embarrassed, like, you don't know how you're gonna,
how they're gonna, yeah,
exactly. Like, if I, like, for instance, my homeboy, my best good friend of mine, we went to school together. I you know, I've known him since third grade, like, since 2000. This is not when I first moved to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And his younger sister was always angry, looked sad all the time, and she would, like, beat up the boys and were like, what is wrong with her? What, she has a dark cloud over her shoulder, why? You know, she grows up, come to find out she identifies herself as transgender. And, you know, she got the hormones and all that shit. And now she's as happy as can be. So, and then
as happy as can be as a...
Yeah, like now...
As a man or a woman, I'm
saying. She's a man.
He's a man. So,
okay.
So she's more comfortable now.
And now he's as happy as can be.
That's the weird thing, because her name is... Their name is Jade. Like, Jade. So that's growing... That's her that's their birth name, mm-hmm. you know? And it's weird because you don't want to say she, you don't want to say he, so you just play it safe and go there.
The best thing to do is ask them.
Yeah.
If you are unsure.
Yeah.
You can, if it's something that you're concerned of, that means that you possess empathy, which is good.
But it's
so if
weird.
You talk to someone and you come to learn that they're transgender, if you just say, hey, what's your, you know, what pronoun do you prefer? And they'll tell you, she, he, them, whatever. It's your choice to use it. No one's going to force you to use it.
Say
but
just
the lack
it,
of, like, if you, like, the lack of using someone's preferred pronoun, if you know it, is, like, a way to other them and to put them into, like, that novelty class again. And, like, that shit hurts, like, over and over and over again.
Can I tell you a quick joke that I know is, like, super ignorant? But I'm working on this joke where it's, like, since you said they, it made me think of it. Like, do you think that someone who's transgender still has, like, their original identity, like, in their head somewhere?
Well, that's...
Absolutely.
And it's, like...
Probably.
Do you, like...
Their original identity is the gender.
Yeah, I know, but this doesn't work
for
the joke.
Are you saying they're biological?
No. What I'm saying is, remember in Black Panther, when he would drink the juice,
uh-huh.
and then he would go into the spirit realm?
Yeah.
It's like, do you ever think, like, Caitlyn goes deep within herself and has a conversation with Bruce about something she's confused about? Like, Bruce, Bruce, I need some help. Can you talk to me, Bruce?
You know, I have to ask you this, Chris. You have a very hyper focus on transgender jokes.
Yeah.
And I personally have everyday questions. I get confused a lot about that because I'm just a good old fashioned cis white lady, you know? Like, I've never had a struggle with living in a body that mm-hmm. didn't feel like my own. Like, I woke up, grew boobs, put some lipstick on, and I was like, fuck yeah, I'm all about it. Like, but I have to understand that, like, other people never had that.
Yeah.
And so, like, what I did is I reached out to people that I knew were transgender, and I'm just like, I am fucking ignorant, educate my ass. And I learned so much. So, like, you know, if you're curious, reach out.
Yeah.
Ask questions.
You know what's the funny part? I felt like this podcast is going to be, like, shit that can get you in trouble 20 years from now.
That doesn't bother me.
You know, like, Chris becomes a worldwide famous comedian, and you're about to, I don't know, you're about to be the first person to do comedy and play
on the moon or something.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, but Chris had really bad opinions about fucking robots that were having sex with trash cans.
You know, so weird. But, you know, it's weird because the conversation is not allowed to be. So if you have a question about something, people will take offense to it. And you can't even have that room to error to just ask questions and be like, hey, you know, I don't get this, you know. Or you just question it. Now we're in an age where we can't question things anymore.
I disagree completely.
You can't, if I'm speaking to someone, if I post something on social media and be like, I don't understand this about this certain group, someone's going to be like, oh, they're going to rip your head off. Like,
yeah, it's social media. It's not the real world.
But
I'm talking about the real world.
True, real world. But I'm saying most conversations in mass and society is happening through social media.
Yeah, the social media is the real world now.
Yeah, but you don't have
to let that shape your understanding.
It could shape your job. It could shape, you know.
Let me give you an example, right? I saw something on the DL. You know they hear that shit, right?
I
want to go away.
I need some water, okay?
I was following the DL. I follow the DL Hughley page on Instagram
and
on Facebook. And then there's a video of, like, Lord knows how many law enforcement people. They're just, like, heavily ganging up on this girl. She's a black girl.
They, like, beating her up?
Man, it looks graphic. Like, you know, it looks graphic. Appreciate it, bro. It looks really graphic. And then, like, they're, like, kind of roughing her up to get her to put her face on the table. People are like, oh my God, this is horrible, whatever. And it's only 6 minutes of what's happening. No. 7 seconds of what's happening. And part of me is thinking, I typed, well, shit, I want to see what happened before this. You know? What happened before this? And then people are like, oh, it doesn't matter. They shouldn't be doing this to her. Yada, yada, yada. But it's like, I really want to see what happened before.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times what they do is it's like, I feel like a lot of times when something like that happens, especially people of color, they just show us that and we just automatically go on 10.
Yeah.
Automatically go to 10. And And then next thing you know, the whole clip comes out, and then people are still
on tape. Damn, she smacked that cop in the face, like, right before.
You know, she's, you know, so it's just like, I deleted my comment, because I was like, I see what's going to happen. Eventually, it goes like, oh, it doesn't matter. And then eventually, it's going to be like, oh, you one of them people, huh? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, it questions your identity as people from a group. So it's like, why does it go? Because you want to show a little critical thinking.
Yeah.
You get downplayed as something else. That's the weird thing.
Like my, all right, this
oh, sorry. You went first.
No, I was going to say, this comedy is like light on giggles, but, all right, so here's a, I guess we're going to bring Paige into the black people conversation real quick.
Bitch, I'm a Jew. I got this.
So I assume you both have heard like the Liam Neeson.
Yes.
I find that black bastard. You know what's so funny to me?
What?
Even his special set of skills, he couldn't find one nigga in Ireland. That's a new joke. I'm like, this motherfucker found a white girl in Eastern Europe in 1 hour and 33 minutes, but couldn't find a nigga in a week. He didn't go to a barbershop, a cheesecake factory, not even a check and cash go. He couldn't even go to none of there. And you know what's the funny part? The thing that makes me laugh about that?
They don't sell rims in Ireland.
Yeah, like none of that. Not even a Foot Locker or Champs. The thing that kills me about this, he said he spent a week looking for a nigga. Not just one black guy, a whole week. And then you got to think about it. Did it take him a week to come to his senses? Or did it take him a week to go, ain't no niggas around here for me to try to kill?
That's insane.
Let me tell you something. Like, you remember the shooting that happened in Orlando when the guy, he lived in, like, Port St. Lucie, Fort Pierce area.
Mm. The Pulse shooting?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He drove all the way to Orlando and did that shooting. A motherfucker gotta be mad to pump gas in your car, leave Fort Pierce, drive 2 hours and 20 minutes to a place and keep that energy. This motherfucker did that for a whole week. Did he not have a job? So after he clocked out, then he goes, all right, let me go back on this search real quick.
Well, he was a young actor. He probably didn't have a job.
You know what I'm saying? We don't know. We don't know how old he was. He said when he was younger. But 2 days ago, I was younger.
Here's the thing that I'm going to say that, like, where I feel like black people are going to get at me, right? Mm-hmm. Phil's already looking at me funny.
Dude.
Here's the thing, right?
What's up?
Okay, so, and just make sure that I have my facts right. So, he found out that a friend of his was raped, mm-hmm. right? And
white friend?
Yeah.
Assuming.
He's from Ireland, right? So I assume he didn't really, if he couldn't find a black person to kill in a week, I doubt he had any black friends.
Yeah.
Right? And I assume that his representation of black people is television. Right?
Makes sense.
He then finds out that a friend of his is raped by a black person. Mm-hmm. Right? And his immediate response was to go out into the street and search for a black person to kill, right?
Any random black person.
Any random
black person. Not the person that raped
right,
his friend.
Right, it's not the person that raped his friend, right?
What a fucking monster Liam Neeson is.
Well, here's where I'm going to disagree with you, right? Of course, what he did was horrible, right? But the reason I don't want to say that Liam Neeson is automatically a monster is I want to reserve room
for people that really be about that life.
Well, no, not only that, but if a redneck, hillbilly, white dude rapes a black woman that I care about,
you ain't already.
I don't know how I'm going to react as a black man.
Yeah.
And I think there's a strong chance that at first, I might go out into the street and any hillbilly, redneck person would get it. A week is strong. A week is very strong. Right? A week is strong.
He's just like, I gotta get my shot in.
I thought about this. But what kind of week was it? You know what I'm saying?
Like the rest of the week was lovely?
Hold on, let me tell you this, right? So let's say he did it on a week. Like, let's say you know someone that got raped.
Okay.
A black girl, you know, got raped by someone. White,
khaki wearing.
You know, you don't even know if he's a redneck.
He's got a tiki torch.
Because the thing is, because it's a redneck, and you already know the history and how the angst would feel. He just said white dude, all right. So you mad, and the next thing you know, like in Avengers Endgame come out. You watch that movie. All right, that's cool. Kendrick dropped a new album. All right, I'm feeling good. So you're going to tell me by Sunday.
You're still looking.
So stupid. This shit got to wait. You know what I'm saying? That's just me. I'm devil's advocate.
But I just think that
the devil don't need no goddamn advocate.
And you know what's the worst part about this Liam Neeson shit?
What?
He still sounded like he was in the movie. It sounded so... He's like, yes, my friend.
They took her.
She got raped. So I was going everywhere looking for blood.
Do you think if she called him, he was like, all right, so you're going to get raped.
just.
You know what's the funny part? If a nigga picked up the phone, hello? Yo, these scam likely motherfuckers took it to the new level. Like, damn, I got that bill. Click, click. Damn, they call me from other people's phones. But I don't know. What that to me, I'm fucked up because I find the humor in anything. I'm just like, bro, it took you a week. I have my sister told me some shit that I kind of have this philosophy in my head. My sister told me, I think he told me that she told one of her female or her homegirls, female friend, you know. She was like, listen, if your man's beating your ass, don't even tell me. Because if he loves you and he's doing that to you, he don't even know me like that. The fuck he gonna do to me? You're like, the fuck can I do for you? He loves you, he beating you, what the hell can I do for you, you know? But that's true. A lot of times a woman tries to intervene. I mean, granted that he said it jokingly. I took it jokingly. But when you think about it, how many movies have you watched or instances you watch where a girl takes up for another, her friend, and the guy beats her up or kills her?
I don't know why white women in movies always decide to confront their abuser in a cabin in the woods when they're way out in the middle of nowhere by themselves.
I mean, sometimes, like, being in those situations, like, it's hard. Like, because I've been in situations like that where I've had a friend in that predicament, and I'm, you know, I always come sleep on my couch. Come stay at my house. I'll hide you, you know, like, if he shows I've hid this person before. If he shows up, oh, I don't know where you are. Go fucking sit in the broom.
And that's when he's in front of the house.
Right.
Calling her phone and you're ringing.
Yeah.
Her phone ring.
Yeah. So you have this like secret language of like keep the phone on silent. Know what it sounds like when someone walks up to your door. Do you have gravel in front of your door or you got concrete? Well, maybe you should put something. Maybe put leaves up there so he rustles his feet so you hear him. When you
don't need to be with a motherfucker like that.
Right? You don't need to be with someone like that. You do. I agree. And they agree too. But the problem is like, whenever you're in a lot of these situations, the woman doesn't have her own means to live. Sure. I mean, look at my living situation. I pay X amount of dollars every single month to live in the house that I live in. Well, I split that with someone else. If that person was gone next month, I would be evicted. Like, so that's the situation that a lot of these in these relationships have is like, where do I go? I pay $400 a month in my apartment. I can't find a one room apartment for $400 unless I move to like the middle of Oregon. And I don't have money to put in my car for gas to drive to Oregon, or I don't have a car, or our phone bills are together. So it's like when you live with someone that's abusing you, your life is very entangled with them. Mm-hmm. So to untangle that, if you got the money to do it, they're gone like that.
But you know, it's not even financial sometimes. Well, that could be a part of it.
That's a huge part of it.
But the problem is, like, I know guys that I'll hear their girls doing shit on them behind their back. I'm not. Unless you're a real good friend of mine, I don't want to tell them anything because eventually they'll tell the girl and they don't want to believe you. You know, and now you're stuck in a position where your friend is being weird and the girl cheating on him is looking at you with all this contempt.
Well, that's a little different though. Like somebody can
cheating,
beat up
yeah, cheating
cheat on
abuse
is
different.
Hold on. I'm just giving an example of like, of one thing. You're right, of one thing. Mm-hmm. Like for instance, a girl that is going through some shit. I mean, a lot of times you look at, I mean, I don't know anyone directly that got abused and anything like that, but it's like, shit. What the fuck am I talking about?
Sometimes, like, even if they do have the money to leave, they stay.
Because psychologically, they're...
Right.
Well, here's the...
You get kind of swept up in it. Because, I mean, we've all been in shitty relationships, right? Where, like, you're like, God, this person's a fucking cunt. But you, like, don't leave them.
Oh, my God.
You know? And you're just, like... You feel like you're stuck because you're, like... There's this part of me that knows, like, who they are as a person.
They're a good person.
That they're good. Like, my last relationship... I fell in love with that person, but then I learned that he was an alcoholic, and I in my brain, I know that he's an alcoholic and he will our relationship will never get better until he finds help. But in my heart, it's like, I know who he is underneath the booze. I know who he is. And I love that person. And I want that person back. So you stay because you want to try to pull that person back from if they're drinking or if they're doing drugs or even if they are abusive, you want that good person back. And that's why a lot of people stay, is because you do love them. You don't want to leave someone and kick them while they're down, you know? Like, if we were dating, Phil, and I broke my leg, and your ass didn't pick me up from the hospital, I would be like, man, fuck Phil. Phil's an asshole. I would expect you to help me while I was down. If you just were like, oh, well, your leg's broken, I guess we can break up now, I would be, like, shocked. Like, you don't break up with someone because, like, they're hurt. Same with someone who is an alcoholic or on drugs or is abusive.
What do you say?
But it's like, I leave your ass, you get a common cold, okay?
But I'm like, what if her face burns up in a fire?
Oh.
Chris, don't leave me for an ailment. You leave your ass if you're ugly.
I can't get in an argument with a bitch looking like Freddy Krueger. You know how many side bitches with regular faces I could be talking to right now? I'm out here talking to a piece of lasagna right now.
And then she like puts her tongue through her cheek hole and she's like, yeah, let's see how this motherfucker's.
Y'all watching the movie? And then she gets next to you and moves your ear. We're fucking horrible. This conversation is.
We have gone off the rails.
Oh, fuck it. It's good. Yeah. But as you're saying about Liam Neeson, so I get what you're saying.
I just think that like this thing where like, and then here's the other piece that I actually didn't appreciate. And let me reiterate.
Oh
that
my
I
gosh, Michelle Rodriguez!
I don't even know what happened with that.
Man, well, say what you're saying.
Okay, but I want to just be very clear that what he did was terrible and it Absolutely. Was wrong, right? However, also I'm tired of everybody acting like they caught him. Everybody's like, "Oh, that's a real Neeson. He got it. Yeah. He said it. He said it to a reporter in an interview. He was sharing something." So everybody calm down with this gangster like, oh, we got him. You didn't get shit. He volunteered. But not only that, but he volunteered.
But it's like, why did he say that?
No, but here's the thing, though. Like,
I'm saying why in the sense.
This reminds me of the Adam Avitable issue. Why'd you say that, dude?
But this, honestly, this is where black people aggravate me, right? Mm-hmm. Black people say, we always say that, oh, we know white people think this, white people think that. And then when you have a white person say, you know what? I genuinely did used to think that. We go, got him! Like, what do you want? He's saying that because in what I read that he actually went to a therapist behind that whole situation, mm-hmm. right? So something horrible happens. It triggers this racism that's deep inside him that he didn't necessarily feel like he was a racist. He was hyped, again, I agree, a week is nuts, but then he realized, okay, I have a problem, and he saw a therapist. That's like my white guy dream. I wish every white guy would do that.
Right?
Like, so why are we killing him?
Well, I think that speaks to a larger notion of the lack of the ability to offer redemption to people. And I mean, I do not know this at all. I am not a black person, and please tell me if I'm a fucking idiot and wrong. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, just from, like, the outside looking in, and even, like, to mix a Jewish experience with it, like, you just get sick of it. You're like, why am I giving everyone a chance? Like, you know, all these people that die for unnecessary reasons, it's like, I gave you chances, my ethnic group gave you chances, and, like, time after time after time, we are failed. Like, that's how Jewish people are. That's why we're like, you know, we try to do this whole like, oh, we're all together, you know, like Jewish people are united, we love everyone, blah blah blah. But it's like, when I turn on the TV and I see this like anti-Semitic bullshit, oh, George Soros is funding the caravan, like, that's an anti-Semitic thing that has serious roots in anti-Semitism. And I see this being touted on like the TV and people are consuming it like it's a real thing. I'm just like, nah, fuck this shit. I'm out. Even my grandma, who escaped World War II Italy as a Jewish person because she didn't want to die, she called me. She's like, Paige, this is what I call a red flag. And like, I'm just like, nah, Y'all should know this shit.
What's the red flag saying about George Soros?
No. The George Soros thing is like...
It's a piece of
George Soros is like... He's a Holocaust survivor. He's a Jewish guy. He's a philanthropist. So then you have these white supremacist groups that are saying, oh, George Soros is this evil rich Jew that controls the media, that controls politics, and he's paying money to these caravan people to come and invade America to rape all our white people and eat all of our white babies and fuck the Jews. Like, it has anti-Semitic roots in it.
Because it's based on the idea that the Jews are in the background are the controlling puppet masters, the world.
Yeah. And you'll see, like, this George Soros, there's, like, a meme of it where it's, like, an octopus, and it'll say, like, George Soros' yearbook photo. And there's this anti-Semitic imagery that was used in World War II of an octopus enveloping the earth, and it would be like, kill your local Jew, they're gonna destroy the earth.
Damn.
So, like, it has serious roots.
I will say this. Some people are more scared to offend Jewish people as opposed to black people.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be.
Fact. That is a fact.
Should be.
Yeah.
Now, listen, I remember when Kanye West went to TMZ and said that the 400 year shit, he was gonna say Jewish people. And he took a pregnant pause. And you could tell he thought of it. Listen, he said that whole shit. And you could tell he probably... I'm not going to backtrack. But one thing I do want to add on that. It's like people say, oh, Kanye West is a genius. He didn't fully articulate himself. I feel like if you're of that stature... He just didn't become famous the day before. Mm-hmm. You have to be articulate in what you're saying. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think Kanye West is a musical genius.
You gotta understand when people...
I don't want to crack the policy.
You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people, when they like someone and they realize they're good at everything in one thing, they want to believe they're good at other. That's just a weird phenomenon people have. So when you went to TMZ talking about, oh, you know, the black the mentality of, oh, you're not slaves anymore, after a while it's a choice, you know? And then he literally was going to say something. He said something about Jews and then he thought about it and then he went back to what he's saying and I was like, if Kanye West... at TMZ mentioned anything about Holocaust, this would have been even like worse than the whole
Well, that's because like Jews control hold Hollywood. Him accountable.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, that too.
The Jews will hold him accountable to that statement.
And you know, and so like the fact that he thought about what he was about to say and go, I don't want that pressure.
And you know what's weird? Can I just say this real quick with a Jewish person here? I don't understand how people freak out when people say like the Jews control Hollywood. Like
good.
They built Hollywood. It was old Jewish mob money that started Hollywood. And here's the thing that I don't understand why... Because I noticed like a lot of people in the black community have this weird thing about Jews because Farrakhan has said weird stuff over time.
Yo.
But what?
Why? The thing I don't understand about Farrakhan, bro, is like... I was thinking about it in the car. I'm like...
You were thinking about Farrakhan in the car over here?
No. I'll give an example.
That's I was like, that was mad random.
Sounds like a great, like shirt, like Farrakhan in the car.
No, this is more so of, like, how a lot of people... He says a lot of stuff about life that I'm like, okay, there's powerful insight. But a lot of black people go, oh, listen to the, you know, the brother, you know, Farrakhan. It's like, yo, do y'all forget he helped damn near kill Malcolm X?
Yeah.
Do people forget that? Do people forget that? Like, that bugs me. Like, how do people just bypass that?
I know for me, like, if like, I find out that, like, an organization has, like, some serious, like, anti-Semitic roots in it, I like, really analyze it. Like, the Women's March, that group of people, like, Linda Sarsour has come out and said, like, some anti-Semitic stuff. And there were two other girls that came out that were like organizers of it, and I'm like, yeah, what? I'm a woman. I want to be a part of this. Like, I believe in a lot of the stuff that they're talking about, but like, it seems like they kind of look at Jewish women like second class citizens, and that's like not good. And like, Jewish people have gotten really, really good at like stopping shit early, right? Because in World War II, that didn't happen. Shit got stopped way too late. So, like, even if someone is, like, maybe they're just uneducated on the subject, Jewish people will always step in and be like, hey, let's rap for a second about this. Here's what's up with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool if you don't like Jewish people, but look at your stance. You've got millions of people listening to you right now. Maybe take a step back. So, like, and that's in regards to, like, the Liam Neeson thing. Like, I don't know if black people feel like, listen, y'all know what's up.
Mm-hmm.
Stop fucking doing this shit. We're sick of it. I personally, like, just, like, on a personal belief, like, I think everyone's available for redemption, but that doesn't mean redemption is just handed to you. Like, yeah. You gotta earn it. Like, it's good that he's like, yeah, I was a piece of shit, and yeah, maybe he should fucking sit out and miss out on a few couple million dollar paychecks for a while.
But I don't understand what for. Like, it's what... Oh my god, my dog's starting to bark. I don't know what's going on.
Thomas Horman
is starting. It's like... it's like a punishment, you know? Like, yeah. Redemption is not, like I said, it's not handed to you. Like, if you commit a crime that requires a jail sentence, and the jail sentence is just... You serve the jail sentence. You don't just... They don't say, oh, yeah, you totally broke into that dude's house. You feel bad about it? Yeah, I feel bad about it. All right, well, have a good day. Bye. Like, you don't... Like, you gotta earn that shit.
Yeah.
And this is a way of earning it, is, like, being shunned.
But that's... I don't know about the being shunned thing. Because...
Being shunned only works if there's a method to come back. To yeah. bring that person back into proper society.
But on top of that, I just think that... I think people are really full of shit.
No.
And that you're going to shun somebody when... Like, my honest question is... How many people... Like, how many white people... have gone through that exact same thing. And would never... And by the way, not based on somebody being raped. They just watch BET for 10 minutes and get pissed off and out on the street riding around. Honestly, I was walking... Me and my wife walked to Wickham Park like 2 weeks ago and somebody screamed nigger out of a pickup truck as we were going by, right? And here, see, like, Paige is looking at me shocked right now. I was not surprised...
You see how I looked at you?
When yeah.
You told me that, I'm just
what
like,
was your look?
I just looked at him. I'm just listening like, it'd be like that, man.
Did not surprise me at all. And number two, didn't hurt my feelings. I'm like, is that supposed to surprise me? We live in Florida. This is who a large percentage of the people walking around the street are. So it doesn't shock me. It doesn't bother. It just is what it is. I keep pushing.
Damn, I don't know shit. Well, you guys gotta go through that.
But this is what I'm saying. Like, and this is why I think it's hard because, like decent white people are like shocked by that, and black people look at decent white people and go, "That's white people." And I like it's not you, right?
Right.
But as a system, that's white people.
Burn it down.
So
burn it all down. Like,
but it's like. This is what I feel like. I was looking at my phone and I was at Publix and I saw, just scrolling through my phone, I see some old, I don't know if he's a senator or whatever, and they're saying that people from the LGBTQ are terroristic threats and shit like that. And that's just hilarious. It's like, what the fuck? That's like, these little white boys with bowl cuts are not terroristic threats, but a black dude that, you know, a dude with a pixie cut that has Hello Kitty bag on, that's a terroristic threat, you know what I'm saying? So, you think about it, he's old and that's his way of thinking. Mm-hmm. So, back in the day, is that what they called gay people? Like, oh my god, he's a threat. So, he grew old with this way of thinking, you know? And that's crazy to me. And so, you gotta think about it, he raised a family. And now this family has a whole bunch of fucked up ideologies and views of life. All right. So eventually, I personally think I've always had this way of thinking that racism is just a social virus, the society virus. So racism right now isn't like racism in the 60s.
Right.
To be honest, people in the 20s would rather have the racism we have now. This is just a virus.